All right. It's opening night here on the Pen 15 podcast as we are wrapping up season one with our season two with a celebration of our first night here opening up our hit musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I close my eyes, drew back the curtain to see for certain what I thought I knew. This is Josh McGregor singing. But far away, someone was weeping, but the world was sleeping. Any dream will do. Get ready to back me up. I wore my coat. There's the kids. With golden lining, bright colors shining. For these sweet little babies here on Pen 15, I'm Josh Wiggler. I'm joined here by Emily Fox and Lee McLaren. Great job on opening night.
Oh my God!
I mean, you both just killed it on the lights.
Hey, I sang a little bit. So did Lee.
That was just that little extra bit of stardust that I needed in order to feel like we could really activate this thing.
Yes.
Just a little bit of glitter. Here is where a perfectly normal introduction here for.
For the so Pen normal.
15 podcast here, closing out season two with a recap of the final two, because we just couldn't wait. Joseph and his dream coat, the world was waiting and hesitating, but we couldn't anymore as we went full tilt into a two.
It's really nice that you decided to wear a golden coat.
Yeah, my Technicolor dream coat.
I mean, we should have known. We should have been tipped off.
Which I'm often wearing here.
Well, for the $1 million patrons, mm-hmm. they can get a picture of Josh
yes.
in his golden coat, which turns Technicolor, I believe, halfway through. Is it?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a whim here and say, for our $1 million patrons, we can send you the coat. We would send it.
Well, and if you can't
FedEx ground,
if you can't shell out for that,
we're not made of money.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to overnight that shit.
Yeah, no, like,
do I have to get bleeped again?
No, I'll leave
5 to 7 days.
I'll leave that in. For the $10,000 patrons, I'll give you a strand of the coat.
Okay.
Any color will do.
Any color.
Whatever.
But mostly denim.
Mostly denim. Mostly denim will be the color.
What about ochre, red?
Peach, ruby, olive, violet, mauve. I think that's where I get it. Where
cream
I close
and
out.
Crimson and silver and rose and azure
and lemon and russet and gray and purple and white
right, guys,
and
next
pink
time we're
and
doing
orange
something from Rent.
Okay,
this is absurd.
I can't keep up.
Starting with a little bit of a musical number because we're on. It's a Theater Kids episode, two part Theater Kids episode, and of course I don't know if you could tell, but I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Tell.
Twice. Jacob once, then Joseph the second time. So just gotta, you know.
No wonder why you know all those words.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, it's not like he had lyrics pulled up. He completely did that on the fly.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a professional. 100%.
He's a professional.
I mean, you saw his eyes shut anyway as he sang half of it. So.
Well, only if you are at that level and the patrons
for
here.
For our $100 million patrons, you could see a video of Josh hit that high note.
Yeah.
And I'll send it to I'll personally deliver it via DVD. Yeah. and tape.
Lower costs, you could just become a member of the Post Show Recaps patron program, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can hang out with us in the Discord and maybe I'll reprise. Maybe I'll just do the full Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Should that be like a like if we hit a certain
yeah, that sounds good, and I'll conveniently schedule that with like a weekend away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably me too, and I don't even live there.
We'll do it. If we reach 2,000 patrons.
2,000 patrons. I think that's
a
fair goal.
We'll stage a full Joseph recital. It's over. Pen
it
15.
Is. It's Lee, over.
For now, season 2 ends with a lot of drama surrounding. The days are short, Joe. The days are short. And so are we, Lee. Emily Fox is a giant, of course, in stature.
That was very enjoyable. That was good. I really
insert
like
your huge Grant here.
Oh, yeah. Are you hip to Huge Grant yet? Well, you're going to be, because Emily Fox and I are working on a thing. Huge Grant. It's a new script. We're working on it. getting it in front of Hugh Grant here in a.
Am I in it? Can I be in it? Well, I'm going to be in it.
We can consider. Okay. I think you could be a stage manager.
What?
put you on.
How
on stage
dare
manager.
You? She's talented.
I belong on the front of the stage, not the back of the house.
She's the best singer in school.
As we often do here, or as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, let's talk about what happens in the episode early so that we can go off the rails.
Okay.
So it's basically a two-part episode. There's going to be this play. The days are short. Maya is going to score the lead. Anna is not in it. And it's a surprise because, as you say, she is she's an angel. She's like, you know, I'm the only person better at singing, maybe me. Otherwise, Anna.
I don't know. We haven't heard your Ave Maria yet.
That's true.
All right, hang on. One second. Oh, no, just kidding. I'm not going to do it.
I love how the two of us honestly looked at each other and were like, oh, no.
He's going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
You were going to do it, weren't you?
I was thinking
you were going to do it.
But now you're making me feel bad.
The Beyonce version, though?
Stop. Guys, stop. You guys.
My lemon water, please.
Stop.
Room temp.
Listen, I really put myself out there, and now you're making me feel... Anyway, so Maya gets the lead. Okay. She's going to be in it. Gabe is also going to be in it. Gabe gets the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe and Maya have to have a kiss. Mm. This is exciting for Maya, who has not had her real first kiss yet. Gabe, it is less exciting for, because Gabe is not interested, and Gabe is going to try and make things work out a little easier by becoming... going steady with Maya. There's a lot of will they, won't they going on.
Even though all of us are like,
know they won't.
We know they won't. They're like, Gabe is trying to be like, well, let's just do it on the day. There's a lot of talk of on the day. Well, can we just try that on the day? Let's see how that's going to work out on the day. And on opening night, when they're supposed to have their first kiss on stage in the context of the play, the hand goes up. It's a block.
It's so bad.
It's a move. The block
feels
goes
so
up.
So bad.
It's very uncomfortable, and that leaves Maya in a tough spot. And a parallel story leading up to this moment, Anna is, I would say, rediscovering herself in a manner of speaking. A new talent that she
not
has.
Not in a gross way, though.
No, as a stage manager, she is coming to realize that she's very good as an organizer, as a leader of people. She is going to become like the top of the crew. She's gonna be very responsible with the lighting. Seems like she's making a new friend with, I don't know the name of this character, but like her, there's the guy,
freshman that's overseeing
the freshman.
All of it, yeah.
Let's call him the freshman Frank.
She's even dealing with like Brendan pretty well.
Because Brendan's part of the crew and they're hanging
very
in.
Impressed.
They're doing all right.
What a mature thing to do.
A mature young adult.
What a mature young adult Brendan is these days. And so that's all happening with Anna, but there's some like there's some rivalry going on between Anna and Maya, and how they're both trying to take their jobs very seriously, and Anna doesn't think Maya's taking it seriously enough, and Maya doesn't think Anna's being supportive enough. And then this moment happens where the kiss doesn't go through, and Anna sprinkles some sparkling dust given to her by
glitter.
Her mother.
It's glitter.
I'm just trying to be colorful with the language, folks.
Clearly. We've had enough color. We've had red and orange and
green and brown and violet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and denim. And so all of those colors get sprinkled from high above down onto Maya from Anna, which activates the Maya firing on all cylinders. And not just Maya. Gabe, all of the actors, the crew, the audience is responding to it.
Yeah.
And we're learning this because there is like synchronized sort of dancing that's having some interpretive dance, some hand gestures.
It's a real meta moment. Yeah.
Loved you know, it.
I think there's a lot of Paul Thomas Anderson influence in this episode of Pen 15.
Oh, PTA? Sure.
There's some PTA action going on here as like there's like it's sort of like a Magnolia moment of when the Amy Mann comes in the middle of Magnolia to signal that we're shifting into the third act.
It's very Cameron-esque, like as in James.
It's really got very little to do with James Cameron Lee. I think you're pretty out of touch with that reference.
That was a direct reference from the show.
Okay, well, I don't want to get into that any further.
Your
to be
freshman
honest.
Says that.
To be honest with you, when the show ends, they go to
you
the
forgot.
After party. I forgot. When the show ends,
I forgot.
And they go to the after party.
Yes.
There's like the big, that's the PTA shot of like following people around from behind and bobbing and weaving throughout a space and like the high fives and all of this stuff.
Walking through the kitchen. Totally normal.
In the after party, it's going well, And then Anna's dad has the car, the converts. Go check out the converts. Also check out my earring. he'd already had the hole. He just reopened it.
He needed a new hoop.
needed a new hoop, as we often all do. And Maya goes to the car with Gabe. Maybe this is gonna be the moment, but Gabe lets her down as gently as humanly possible. It's not you, it's me, he says.
But it's also like classic like theater love moment where like you had a theater boyfriend, then the production ended and you were like, oh, this isn't gonna work out.
Yes.
Yeah, because they were gay the whole time. Everybody knew. They knew. You knew. I guess Maya didn't know.
She didn't know.
So it didn't work out. Doesn't work out. Doesn't happen. Anna and freshman Frank are becoming tight.
I was hoping for a little kissy.
I was too.
Might be a second half of season two. Maybe this is the start of a storyline. She's the Alex music played for a second while she saw Alex, and then it went away. So she's out on Alex.
Yes.
She's moved on.
I also feel like Alex grew like a foot.
Yeah, they're all growing.
He's taller.
They're all growing.
they're going through puberty, Emily.
Super tall Sam shows up too, and he clearly still really likes Maya. And,
yes.
Maya, it's hard to say how she's feeling towards Sam these days.
But that was like a really sweet moment, and I loved it a lot. And it brought back very nostalgic memories.
Of what?
Which we can get back into after you finish this.
Put a pin in that one. I've got questions. That happens, and then they go for a joyride in the car, and the dad, Curtis, is saying, you're going to have to choose who you're living with. And poor Anna has
He made a pretty good case with his earring and the Solara.
Yeah.
Sweet Solara.
Yeah, like, don't you want to stay with me?
Yeah. Don't you want to stay with me is what he says.
It's tough. Poor Anna's face at the end of that just crushed me.
It's very tough.
Devastating.
Very, very
That's
hard.
A really tough scene.
Ugh.
Is there a scene after that? Is that where we close the season for now, right? Yeah.
She's in there trying to make herself not feel anything.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So we're in a tough spot as we leave the first half of season two of Pen 15 because we don't have any new episodes on the docket yet. I don't know if they've restarted production yet. I think we've talked about this. I bet that this is a with like child labor laws. Like, this has to be a difficult show to produce. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Like, this has to be a very difficult show to produce. Yeah. In
is that for people under 16?
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's got to be legality stuff.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that there is. Genuinely, Lee, don't laugh.
What if you found out that...
I'm just like thinking like, juice box break.
I know. Well, what if like every single character is a twin? Like in all the sitcoms.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
They really didn't plan like that well. Yeah, yeah, maybe the second half of season two, they'll suddenly have like a new cast of kids and we come to find out that all of the actors are twins.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. It would be a great time to be a twin. An up and coming twin actor.
Yeah.
That could be very good.
Eric's a twin, but
he's a little I'm not gonna make the old joke, Eric. It's just literally you are not age appropriate to play one of these children.
What about his twin though?
He is. He's ready to go.
Yeah, sign Dirk up.
Sign Dirk up. He's ready
Dirk
to rock.
Is ready.
He's
nice.
Ready to roll. Ready to roll. So that's the final two episodes of the season, which having watched them now, Emily, are you glad that we bunched them together rather than bringing it up over the course
of
2 weeks?
I think it would have been kind of like painfully obvious that we should have put them together for the last two.
Yeah.
You can't just like leave everybody hanging and then not see the actual production.
And by everybody, you mean the three of us.
Yeah, exactly. This would have been really hard for the three of us to get
all our patrons, which are ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was pretty well done. I really enjoyed the dynamics of like crew versus cast, which is so spot on.
So spot on. The matching sweatshirts with the saying that nobody understands. Ours personally, Josh, I don't know what yours were, but ours were all 45 degrees all the time because our director always said, okay, but stand at a 45 degree angle. Yes.
And that's really interesting. I was too busy being a star to notice what stage crew
were
was wearing.
You? No, so, that was not stage crew. That was the actors.
Lee was on stage.
We didn't
stage.
Have any
Why
coordinated
do you
outfits.
Put her in
other,
crew.
We had, never did any we had crew, no coordinated weirdo. Gear other than our costumes. We took ourselves very seriously.
Wow. You guys sound like a bunch of fun.
We were really great. We were really great. And we would just...
For somebody who like owns like 90% custom clothing with like inside jokes.
I own 90% of my clothes are custom.
You sound so fancy.
I mean, like the implications are kind of luxurious.
Excuse me, sir, can you make the sleeve on this t-shirt just a little smaller?
No, I'm not
listen, y'all have seen my bar mitzvah suit, so you know.
We have seen the bar mitzvah suit.
This man wears only the finest custom fit clothes. Listen, Mr. Fancy Pants, said Emily
That's
Fox.
That's not what I'm saying.
With your
you
custom
and you deserve
tailor.
It, mister. We didn't have a cast sweatshirt. That's not
we
cool.
Didn't.
No, as somebody who has like a Wiggler's Wombat's hat collection and like shirts that say like your like bocce team name and all of these different things that you guys have used like custom ink for over the years,
mm-hmm.
you never had like a specific cast related piece of swag.
No,
that
it doesn't
all
come
of
to
you
mind.
Donned
so
the same day.
And I think like a lot of the sarcasm that's coming from me right now is a coping mechanism. And like,
you're upset.
Yeah, I think I probably like if I were to examine it, I think a lot of it's defensive strategy right now. I'm thinking about Maria and Christine, who are our directors back in the day, who I adored, and now I'm thinking about all the ways in which they failed us.
As a
cast that they didn't get us swag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And like, what did they really give us?
Just
confidence.
Just
confidence
learning
in sunshine and in rain. I'm sorry. I almost did the full
Sound of Music.
Sorry. That spring will come again. Sorry.
Oh
I'm sorry.
God.
This is what I live with.
Try and rein it back in. Yeah. You jealous? Out there.
Who are you talking to?
The royal you. Out there.
Oh,
in
the
TV
royal
land.
You. Well, the royal I says,
It's all right.
So many show tunes, so little time.
Mad love.
Yeah.
What do we think of where we are in the show, Lee? We moved on from the Maura stuff, so you were both right that was it. Do we think that like there's because we saw her
we saw one shot, a quick shot
in the crowd, so like she's still in the universe of the show, but like, do you have any feelings of like where the show is going moving forward from here? Does this because it's wild they didn't film this as a finale, you know, but it does. It felt like a finale. It felt like it had that quality to it. Yeah.
You know, it could be, but I don't know. I mean, we had like this big buildup. We had this great dynamic, you know, we had a lot of fun. We have a lot of stuff going on. And then I feel like this is just like the peak, like, oh man, this is crushing. Like, I was lucky enough that I didn't have to go through any of that, you know, when I was younger, any of divorce or anything like that. Shockingly, surprisingly, that the three of us didn't.
Yeah.
That's a weird statistic. Yeah. But I'm just like, you know, I feel so, so sad for Anna and her mom and her dad. And I can't decide who's the bad guy and the good guy. And I don't know what to do with that because I really like things that are black and white and or nice, neat boxes. And yeah. I'm also really upset about the boob milk thing. That made no sense.
That was really confusing. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's supposed to demonstrate that they're like attached in ways that they shouldn't be.
I think we've got it.
Yeah, I know. That was like an unnecessary tactic to employ. I do agree with you on the parents thing.
Yeah.
Like how ambiguous it is with like they're fighting and, you know, I don't think anybody comes out looking great in a lot of these scenarios, but also you can empathize with a lot of what, you know, each one of them is saying too. Like when the mom's sitting there in the restaurant by herself crying and you're like, ugh.
I know. You know. Because also, what the hell's with the dad not going to the play?
Yeah,
are you serious? That was not cool.
Not great. Okay. Not great. I think one of the great things that this show does is it filters the story through the lens of, you know, kids of this age. Yeah. So like from Anna's perspective, this is very complicated. The most important people in her life are drifting apart.
Yeah.
Like with intention. And there is a sense, a very unfair but very real sense of like from her father at the end, like the ball's in your court, who do you want to choose? Like that's horrible. And like I think it's like a job requirement that as a human being you're bad at it. Mm-hmm. You're bad at being a person if you are one, you know, because it's such a complex condition that you are guaranteed to screw a lot of stuff up.
Yeah. You know, that's why we don't have kids.
Well, but they're
one of the reasons.
I mean, come on.
Listen, but
we're
in a rough
spot right now.
but there is like I think this idea that like that is such an unfair thing to put on Anna. What Curtis does at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And you know, like, but he's broken too, and so is Anna's mom. Like, they're all just like very damaged right now. And so, when you're damaged, like, how do you do anything right? So I also like a yes or a no. Like, which tell me what's right, tell me what's wrong, please. Especially because this was not really like necessarily like the depths of. This isn't like the depth that I was expecting from Pen 15 this season of like going to these emotional places, but really the show is expressing something very, very, very complicated through all of the storylines this year. Like the Gabe storyline was really, really great.
Yeah.
And I think through the Anna thing, like since she's such a central character, like by filtering it through her lens, but us also being adults, like consuming the show, like you can kind of feel it on both of those levels of like, you can put yourself in the shoes of someone of that age. Cause you were there. And now like as an adult, even though we still consider ourselves like tiny little baby children in our brains, you know, like you can actually kind of maybe even see that piece of it in Anna's parents that like you now know being older that you only grow older, but you don't really grow up.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, like, man.
You're still just a baby boy, baby girl, baby whatever in your brain, you know?
It's tough because I was looking at the drama teacher and I'm like, okay, so I'm old enough to be a drama teacher. Very upsetting. And then I'm looking like,
same.
Does anyone remember like what like not quite age appropriate play did you do in high school? And I'm like, oh, yep, could check off a few of those. Like,
which ones?
Well, the one that comes to mind the most, and this is so awful. We did Playing for Time. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
Yeah, I do.
You do. Okay. So here's what we did it for the play competition, right? And it was a good play. It's really sad. It's basically about musicians in concentration camps. or in a concentration camp.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, I knew that.
So
vaguely.
Pretty heavy, yep. But we were what, 16, 17? So there's a scene in there where half the people who were, you know, dressed as Nazis would go shake the musicians, the prisoners up and say, Raus, Raus, which is rise in German. And of course, you know, we were 17. So we crushed our play. We got out there. And of course, we're chanting in there, everybody in the house, Raus, Raus. Just all through the hall.
God. Oh my God.
We're like, oh my God. It's like, oh no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we grasp this at this age, but it's like, oh, you know, you have this guy who's like, we're doing the theater and I have these kids that can kind of pull it off and I can, you know, see myself through them. And then you're just like, oh man, that wasn't appropriate for some 16-year-olds.
Yeah, I think we all had a couple of moments like growing up where you'd have like a really emphatic and like gregarious play like director or like theater teacher who was just like really into it, and you're like, okay, yeah, like I went to theater arts camp for like 2 summers, and one
Same.
Of them, yeah, I had to do like an Irish accent.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like about
can you do it like, now, Emily, please?
No, well, the problem is it turned into a Scottish accent, and they were like, you're so good at this.
Can
and
you do that
like,
now,
yeah,
Emily,
I am. Yeah, I like had to say something like to the extent of like, we stand on the brink of a great achievement.
But was it was that like your all one lie?
No, I like did this like whole it. Monologue
and it all was in that accent. That's like
all in that
half
accent,
Scottish, half Indian.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh God, I sounded like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. But like, it was incorrect, and it was like an original piece that was like a monologue about like Irish oppression, which is also like, oh, it was a hot mess. And I just remember like being like, nailed it. And I'm like going home and being like, yeah.
I think in like 6th or 7th grade, we did Macbeth. Like, what?
Oh, wow.
What? Because I remember being Lady Macbeth, and it was just like, all right, if you say so.
If you insist. Wow.
Yeah, tread lightly, theater teachers.
Out, damn spot, out!
Yeah. We did Shakespeare. We did Midsummer Night's Dream my senior year, but like that's
sense, okay, yeah.
We almost did The Crucible. We were very close to doing the Crucible instead.
Yeah, you did.
Well, of course, you New Englanders.
I know. We like
close
to
your
it,
roots.
Keep it
keep
real.
It tight.
We
keep
like
it
to
tight.
Be witchy.
Yeah. Witchy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what, well, like some inappropriate things happen. We did The Sound of Music when I was in 6th grade. So like they start getting into like Nazi shit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
I was Franz the butler, and I had to like, he ends up, I think, being a Nazi sympathizer.
Oh,
at least
no.
He greets a bunch of Nazis at one point in the play with the things to say that I won't say here,
sure.
That I had to say on stage as a 6th grader.
Oh, no.
So that's where I'm from.
I gotta say, my old roommate, her brother, who maybe is a freshman in high school, so this was 1 or 2 years ago, they did The Sound of Music, but sans Nazis.
Which is also a little sketchy, where you're like, revisionist. Like,
I asked her, I was like, was it a short play? Error.
Oh, I thought like you meant they
just decided to
the
leave
Nazis.
Salzburg peacefully.
No Nazis. Nazis were not in there.
Like they replaced them with robots or something.
No.
Yeah, we have to flee to Austria because robots are closing in.
So long, farewell, und Wiedersehen. Actually, we'll stay.
Yeah,
Sound of Music 2, Nazis versus robots. I'm in.
Oh. I bet we could get Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer in this.
No doubt. Yeah. They seem chill.
Let's get to work.
Christopher
Let's work
Plummer.
On this after Hugh Grant.
Christopher Plummer is my favorite old man actor. Yeah. I love Christopher Plummer so much.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Plums.
Yeah.
This is where
maybe
we're
one time.
Bar.
One time we'll, we could we'll meet him.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind. He was in an Al Pacino movie a few weeks back that we watched, and I was like, excuse me, Georg is in this? And Josh was like, he is.
Yeah, he's a working actor. He's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, man.
Lee, do you miss your theater kid days?
You know, I had a lot of feelings. The cast
was
list
there,
going up.
Was there like, was there, yeah, was there yeah. like a moment as you pushed further away from like that time that like, I don't know, like I'm speaking from yourself, my experience.
Yes.
Where like it mattered, like that stuff meant like everything to me being a theater kid back in
absolutely.
The day. And I'm trying to think of like where was the moment where that turned, where like that part of like my brain like went away,
when
where
your
like
pants split.
Where like that being like an important thing for me stopped.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Josh. You're sitting here, you're podcasting, you just sang Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Did it really leave?
Well, I mean specifically
this
like
is everything.
I mean specifically like that, like that, like sort of like fraternity quality of like
sure.
Of like that specific like group,
because like you act can like you don't walk down the street snapping with three of your friends.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, you do. When you're a jet, you're. I don't like. I don't,
from your first cigarette, okay.
You know how I feel about West Side Story. Don't talk about it.
I know.
The only musical I didn't get cast in all of high school. Never forget.
And they tried to get me to be. They tried to get me to be in the pit orchestra for that, and I was like, "This is too difficult. I am not interested.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work."
I mean, I assumed it was due to your loyalty to me.
Yes,
that's
it was.
Why it was difficult.
honestly, that was part of it. I remember being like, "This is some BS right here."
Good. Sorry about your resume.
Yeah. Anyway, offensive.
So offensive. I don't think it ever goes away, Josh, to be honest with you, because you can find the same thing. I found it again in college. I spent a year teaching English in Spain, and it was the same fraternity thing.
Yeah.
These are my tight friends. I need them here. This is a situation. It just ebbs and flows with where you are in your life. And I think as a person, once you grow up, you realize you don't need 20 of your closest friends to be with you all the time. Well, that's not true. You guys kind of have that, but
yeah.
The need to have that intense, this is everything all the time. I think it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
I think that they did a really good job, though, of capturing that quality.
100%.
Like that was like some lightning in a bottle type of shit when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That is the world. Like, and I think that was what was really, really beautifully articulated in like the dance stuff.
Yeah.
That like show us that, because like that is capturing what they're all feeling better than anything that you could show us if you were showing us like more of the full play, because they probably weren't that good in reality.
We probably weren't.
We were probably never that good. Yeah. But we always felt like
it was like a high.
And then you go to Applebee's and you talk about the whole thing, because that was us. We were Applebee's. I don't know what your like after rehearsal. After
we would have we would we went to like. Different members of the cast or crew would host the party.
Yeah,
there
was that's
every
the
every
end. That's
night.
Like
that's
the
a cast
night.
Party.
Yeah.
That's a cast party. Yeah. But like you hit up like a restaurant to do a recap.
Yeah,
have like, some Diet Cokes
after big rehearsals. You know, an app and a refillable.
You know, bottomless chips. Yeah,
bottomless chips sound pretty good right now. I'm not gonna lie.
These chips have no bottom.
You remember, so last week I was saying, like, I want to get through this so that I can read this Vulture interview with Dylan Gage, who plays Gabe.
Did you read it?
Yeah, it's really, really great. I'd like to do a little bit of a reenactment, if that's okay with everyone.
Sure.
Emily, I'd like you to play the part of the interviewer, and I'll read Dylan Gage, who plays Gabe. I'll read his answers.
So, I'm the interviewer. Yes. The play that you and Maya do as the characters has a lot of you shouting as a married couple, but it's not specific. Did you have a full script for it, or an idea of the plot in general?
There was not a whole script for it, and I was frankly kind of disappointed that there wasn't. There's certain scenes where you see the script in my hand, and you just see the first pages of the script, which is actually just the Pen 15 script for those lines. But my name is actually Joe, and Maya is Deborah. But it's just blank pages after that.
Too bad.
But it was very fun to shoot those scenes, because it brought me back to when I was in school plays and such.
Oh, wow. He talks like my dad.
Overacting.
Last week.
Overacting and having an accent and stuff. Those were probably some of the funnest scenes in the second season.
Were you ever in a school play where you had to play a cranky old man?
It's funny that you asked that. The first ever acting job that I got was for a professional play that I did. I didn't play an old man, though. I played a child, but I did play an actual drama thing.
So, no.
What play was it? And it
Is it like a famous Arthur Miller one or something?
Probably not. It was kind of local. It was called Appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little reenactment of the great interview.
Funny that you asked that.
With Dylan Cage. Shout out to Jackson McHenry, who conducted this interview for Vulture.
He's so cute. Dylan Cage.
I love Gabe.
I was not cast in this reenactment, so whatever.
You were the audience.
West Side Story all over again.
You were stage manager on this one. You were just making sure the lighting was good. Make sure that the sounds were all working and everything like that.
Wow.
It's a very important role that you just played in the reenactment of the show.
Sure.
I hope we get more Gabe content in the back half of season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that character. Do we feel like we've got like a good arc on him? Like, is there not as much to do? Like, what do you think, Lee?
You know, I don't know, because we saw him, you know, look at Maya, and she was like a little glowy, right? So we said, oh, okay, maybe, you know, he's not quite, obviously, I mean, he's a little kid, right? So he has all these type of feelings. So, you know, we're seeing that, and then I'm kind of curious, like, oh, you know, are they going to date? Is he really kind of, you know, who knows what they're thinking, hormonally speaking, right? So we have that. And then it's obvious that he doesn't have any feelings for Maya. So that's just kind of an interesting arc. You know, I loved his kind of conversations with his other theater kid that was in there, that was in the play. The two of them had some really cute run-ins, you know.
Yeah. Ian is his name,
is
I
it
think?
Ian? I don't know.
I think so. I don't know. I might be getting it wrong.
But, you know, he gave some compliments. Your hair looks nice that way, that sort of thing. You know, and I love that. And I could see more of an arc, but I just worry every time he's with, you know, his buds. What is it? Brendan and Jafir.
Yeah.
He just turns into such a jerk, but he's a little kid and you get it. Yeah. You know? And so I just feel like things get worse before they get better.
Those little weasels.
I know. I love that weasels are back, by the way.
Of course they're back. They were never out.
Yeah, they didn't leave for me.
They never left.
They're ready to go to production. They're ready to go to Kinko's.
Yeah. How incredible is Maya Erskine as Maya Ishii Peters as Deborah in that one moment where she's just like crushing
her
monologue?
Where she finds her light in her room?
Unbelievable.
That was incredible. The cigarette, everything. I was like, okay.
Yeah. There's just a couple of like scenes in this, in these two episodes that were just like, really like the craft behind them.
Yeah.
I was impressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Really great. But yeah. And then there was like the milk scene, which was very strange that you guys touched on briefly, which I don't fully know if I get why that happened.
No, we all know they're like strangely tight. Attached, you know, we get it. I don't think we really needed to. I assume this was like
unnecessary.
You know, wean the kid off, you know, let go of the tit. I get it, but come on.
It was wild. That was unexpected.
It was. I was just like, what?
Like,
all right. All right.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Do you remember?
No, I'm very nervous. When you say, do you remember as a non sequitur from that? Like, I am nervous and curious as to where you're going.
Please, do we remember
two things? One, the just anxiety of opening night, which I felt even when watching this TV show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
which was really stressful, but kind of
that's
exciting.
Sort of similar to the butterflies I felt before singing "Any Dream Will Do" at the start of this podcast.
Same thing.
Yeah,
and also, did you ever have to do a stage slap? I got such a kick out of the stage slap in the play.
I think I did. I feel like I must have. But I'm trying to.
I feel like I must have, he said.
Must have.
Well,
when I was a Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat two times, I may have.
Listen, Potiphar throws him in prison. It's not a joke.
He doesn't slap him in prison.
Yeah.
No, but Potiphar's wife might.
Oh my God.
You've been wife slapped.
Yeah. I think in Midsummer, I may have gotten.
Yeah, that sounds more appropriate.
May have gotten smacked mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Stage smack was no good.
They just never work out.
No, no.
One thing that I.
Stage kiss is awkward too. Yeah. That's uncomfortable.
I'd take a stage kiss over a stage smack anytime.
I don't know. The stage smack, I'd feel less awkward about. It might be more... I was going to say...
Stage smack reminds me of Godsmack. Remember that band?
Why are you doing that?
Josh, do you have a custom-tailored Strong Godsmack feeling. Shirt?
No, but as soon as we get...
Or a song you would like to sing from their repertoire?
As soon as we get off this podcast, maybe.
Turn down the Godsmack. Not again!
I will say... One thing that I really enjoyed in this episode was the interaction between the crew and the cast when they first run on the stage and they're like, oh my God.
Yes.
And they're like freaking out over like all of the set pieces.
I felt it.
And then everyone in the crew is like, okay, everybody, find your light. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't do it this way, I'm going to have to go back again. Okay, are you listening? Like trying to get everybody like
put
organized.
Your props on the right side.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So
and, like all of those small moments. Literally brought me directly back to being like yelled at by like everybody on crew
down
right?
to the alien mug that was sitting on the desk. I was like, this is well done. This is very well done. I feel this deep in my soul.
I will say just a quick shout out. So when I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream
Wait,
Coat,
you were
you
in
serious?
Joseph?
Emily? Yes, I was.
No, you weren't.
I was a special, chorus member because I could sing, but I was a bad actor.
Wait, Emily.
What acting?
How did
Joseph?
You not know this? Also, how long have you guys been together? Like 30 years?
No, I did know this. No. I was feigning surprise for the benefit
I
of the
am
audience,
surprised.
But, yeah.
Like, how,
well, how
I
long
know
have you two been friends?
We've been together
otherwise.
A long time.
A long time.
Yeah, no, so I... Lee, before you moved to our town, it was in middle school that we did it.
Oh.
And so I was on a riser with like eight other girls who like had the choreographed dancing and everything like that, sort of like the supporting choir or whatever.
Okay.
And it's a very similar story because our mutual friend Laura decided to do crew.
Oh, did she really?
Because she auditioned and she didn't get in. So she did props.
Okay.
And my mom was the prop person.
Prop
because
master?
Parents had,
prop master.
Yeah, because prop master. I'm sorry, mom. Because sorry, parents Johan. Had to volunteer. If your kid was in the play, you had to volunteer in some way to help out.
Ooh,
and
that's
so your mom was probably
my mom,
like, damn it.
She got in. No.
So she used to pick up this like really good sandwich from like a deli.
Of course you remember
close
the
to
sandwich.
The, it was so good.
It was a really great sandwich.
Mom's nodding along with me. It was really good. It was like a turkey sandwich with like olive oil and vinegar.
Emily
and like
has
shredded
the
lettuce
memory of an elephant. If you don't know, Emily remembers everything.
Yeah. So everything. I would stay after school. Oh, she'd show up around 5 or something because she had to do props and she was like, this is the worst. I already have like a terrible commute and now I have to go straight to another school. And like drop off this sandwich, watch my kid house it, and then like organize like props for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
So many coats,
like,
so many colors.
But she so at dreams. Least had Laura on her team, so the two of them were like doing all these prop related things.
Oh,
and
it.
Then I'd like come in the back and be like, "How's it going, guys?" And they'd be like, "It's fine.
Please go away. Go stand on your riser, riser number 3."
Oh my God.
Yeah. How was your dance? Did you kill it in the dance? Routine?
Yeah, because you're just like swaying
Like
twirling at the right time.
Twirling?
Your arms up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You twirled on
don't
a riser?
Don't get me started on twirling on a riser.
Fall off, which is surprising.
That's dangerous.
Twirling on its own is a lot, but to twirl on a riser, you're flirting with, you're courting disaster.
I have been in choirs for a cajillion years, and one of my deepest fears is those things collapsing. Like they do it. Is it Home Alone 2, I think, that they do it in?
That's when Buzz is drumming on Kevin's head with the candles and shit goes south from there.
Yeah. Oh man, I really want that sandwich now.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Josh and I are like, man, theater. It was so intense.
Man, I miss theater.
I miss that sandwich.
Sandwiches. I miss sandwiches.
Well, look. It's all that I was more into the food than I was.
Like, give me that sandwich, okay? Just give me that sandwich.
I want the sandwich.
Give me a sandwich. No one gets hurt.
I think your Joseph story brings us full circle as we start to wind down here. But we're not done with the podcast series. We're going to do one more episode. Mm-hmm. We'll close this whole thing out. We'll do feedback. If you've got any, send it in. Pen15 at
nice.
postshowrecaps.com. Pen15 at postshowrecaps.com. We may have a couple of extra people on the podcast next time. It's a possibility. I don't want to get anyone too excited.
Sure.
It's a possibility.
Sure.
It's a possibility. So we may get some different perspectives on Pen 15 and different perspectives on growing up.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think also we want to do some talking about, like, where does the show go from here?
Where do we go
what are
from
some
here?
Of our predictions? Where do we go
where
from
do
here?
Where do we go from here?
All of these things are things that are worth. Worth asking, worth interrogating, I would say. So that's what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. Plenty of other stuff happening in the Post Show Recaps universe. Again, you could find out so much more by becoming a patron of Post Show Recaps, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Follow Lee on Instagram if you can find her.
Mysterious.
Very mysterious. If you can find her. Emily Fox, where can people find you?
On Instagram Emilet. And Twitter at Emilet,
okay.
Like an omelet, but with an E.
Mm-hmm. And I am at Round Howard. And to close this thing out, now I will sing Mr. Mistopheles from Cat.
No, please don't. Do
oh, well, I never was there ever. A cat so clever as a magic combat. Mistopheles.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.